All right, Josh, let's jump in. We've been talking for like 5 minutes, wasting good material before we've even started. So I figured I'd just hit record and it would make you stop spouting stats about Bryce Harper. At least until the end when you can. I'm going to open it up and let you go.
I'm very calm about Bryce Harper.
Calmer than you are.
Go Nationals.
Welcome to another episode of It's About Time, episode 9 of It's About Time. Before we jump in, I'm going to remind everybody we are now affiliated with one of the hottest sports websites in the district, dmvsportsnetwork.com. They can be followed on Twitter at dmv underscore sn. That is at dmv underscore sn. They've got some great daily content on the Redskins, Capitals, Nats, Wizards, tennis, fantasy football, and any other DC sports that you might want to read about. So be sure to check them out. Also, be sure to subscribe to our show wherever podcasts are available. Today, it's been a while, actually. We were recording on a Wednesday because of the bye week and work schedules didn't match up. But also, we're not recording until Tuesday of next week because of the Monday night game. So today, we're going to talk about the Skins and their not-so-quiet bye week, their upcoming opponent in the Saints. We'll go around the NFC East. We're not going to go around the whole NFL. And then Josh and I have prepared some previews, season previews. Josh is going to handle the Caps, his beloved Stanley Cup, defending Stanley Cup champion.
Happy Banner Day.
Happy Banner Day, yeah. Happy Tom Wilson getting suspended day. And then I'm going to tackle the Wizards, do a quick preview of them. And then we'll jump in, we'll close out the Nats, do some final thoughts, kind of a mixed bag at the end and see what we've got. How you doing, Josh?
Good, and you?
I'm good. Feeling better this week after last week's...
I am finally.
How long did it take?
I mean, I guess I'm still kind of sick.
How are you, really? Why am I so close to you? Anyway, let's jump right in. Actually, real quick note, two notes. One, we are recording next Tuesday instead of next Monday because of the Monday night game. And also, Ding Dong, the cricket, is dead. I caught him in the middle of my basement, and I killed him. I didn't let him get away this time. He's dead. So
I feel like if you keep talking about it, it's going to be the podcast. It's going to be very much like the cricket.
Well, my wife said to me after she listened to last week's episode, she said her new saying to me is going to be crickets for me, which was how you signed off last week. So you continue to influence my wife week in and week out with your sayings. So you're impacting my marriage on a weekly basis.
I just shoot from the hip, man. I don't even know what I say. I just black out.
You do sometimes say, did I say that? And I'm like, yeah. That's where we get the episode title, Josh Says Something Nuts, and I make it the episode title.
Yeah, well, I don't listen to the episodes.
So. No, exactly. It'll be amazing if you listen to 5 minutes of this one.
I'm not going to, let's be honest here.
Yeah, of course. All right, let's jump into the Redskins. It was not that quiet of a bye week for them. At least if you spend time on Twitter, there were some rumblings. Doug Williams did an interview on ESPN 980 last week, and the main topic of conversation was him bringing Adrian Peterson in. And apparently he and I can't remember, oh, it was Eric Schaefer, I believe, who was vice president or something along those lines. They had the idea to bring AP in, and Doug Williams gave it the okay after thinking about it, and he comes to the park the next day. Bruce Allen comes up to him. He forgot to notify the boss. Forgot to tell Bruce Allen, forgot to tell Dan Snyder. It was kind of a funny story. You know, it all worked out. AP's played well through the first 3 weeks. But apparently it ruffled some feathers over at Redskins Park after he told the story on the radio. Dan Snyder apparently was not happy. There was also a follow-up New York Times article regarding the cheerleader scandal that happened last year that you and I both thought might be the end of Dan Snyder, but he survived it. And also, Dan Snyder is apparently very, very, very grumpy about the crowd sizes. Just a quick stat. Through two home games, the Redskins are averaging under 60,000 people per game. That's kind of in the middle of the league when it comes to attendance, but where they're dead last is percentage of seats filled compared to the capacity of their stadium. They're at 65% of capacity.
Even with all the seats that he removed?
Yeah, their capacity is still 82,000. with all the seats removed, I believe.
So 65, they'd be above 60%. They'd be above 75% if they're above 60,000 people.
No, they're under 60,000 people. They're at like 56 or 57,000.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's probably not even how many people actually go into the game.
No, these are probably tickets sold / given away or whatever. So anyway, it was not a good week in Ashburn. The Redskins came back this past Monday. There hasn't really been much talk about it. There's not much that came from a bad week in Ashburn, but I just want to know, do you have any thoughts on it? Anything that you were thinking about? I just really don't like Dan Snyder or Bruce Allen, so it kind of makes me happy, although I really like this iteration of this team, and I don't want them to be derailed by stupid drama off the field.
I mean, I don't think this is anything crazy. I mean, if there's nothing to talk about, they'll just make stories, right?
And it was really one reporter that was reporting it. It was Chris Russell, who works for 106.7. He was really the only one that jumped on the reporting of that, and nobody's really taken off on it, so...
It's a crack organization over there.
106.7? Yeah.
I'm psyched to listen to their radio shows. I can't even spell that.
Why would you want to spell it?
Why would you want to talk like that if you're in your 40s?
I agree. I think they're a garbage radio station. And now they're the new partners of the Washington Redskins.
Yep.
I guess it's a match made in hell. No? Okay. Let's move on to something, I guess, slightly more positive. Next week's opponent. They play the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, the Redskins coming off of a bye. This past week, the New Orleans Saints were 33-18 winners over the hapless New York Giants. Breeze had a somewhat pedestrian day, 18 of 32 for 217. Kamara had a nice day, 19 carries for 134. He added 5 catches for 47 yards, and he had 3 rushing touchdowns. Before we go to any more statistics, who covers him out of the backfield this week?
Josh Harvey Clemens?
I was thinking
a safety?
I was thinking Fabian Moreau.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
But then
are you running nickel or dime?
I think you're going to have 4 DBs on the field probably at all times.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not worried about stopping the run, because I feel like we're going to stop the run, but then they're going to, that extension of the run game, they're going to start doing screens and stuff, and then they're going to torch us.
Let me clarify, too. I don't mean 4 defensive backs, because you obviously have to have safeties. I mean 4 cornerbacks. Because I think they're going to spread them out. Kamara will probably start in the backfield, but I think that they are going to be nervous enough about the Redskins' front 7 where they're going to spread us out. And I think you're going to see a lot of short passes. You're going to see some screens to Kamara. I think they're going to be, well, they are very, very difficult to stop.
Yeah, and you'll see a new NFL passing yards leader, most likely.
Well, right? 201 yards. It's a question, not a question of if, but when.
Probably halfway through the second quarter.
I was thinking maybe at the end of the first quarter. I'm not trying to be negative. I said this to you before we jumped on. I also was talking to my cousin Max about this. I love this version of this team, the Redskins, more than I think I've loved one of their teams in quite a while. They're drama-free outside of their front office. They all seem to like each other. They all seem to just love the game of football, which has not been the case in the past with some teams. There's no drama at the quarterback position like we had the previous couple years with Kirk Cousins. I want to see them succeed. This is a game, historically for the Redskins, in the Dan Snyder era, we'll call it, the last 2 decades, this is a game, prime time, a game where the Redskins can really show that they're a good football team. This is a game where they usually fall flat.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's almost, I don't know. See, I have no expectations. I just assume that they're going to lose. So anything better than that? I'd just like a good football game. Which offense is going to show up? Is it going to be the first quarter, second quarter offenses that we saw, or is it going to be the 6 quarters of no offense?
That's a good question. I think the defense has shown that they can be pretty consistent, but Breeze has shown that he's Drew Breeze, and Drew Breeze with a good running game. And he may not have the arm strength that he's had in the past, although he's never really had exceptional arm strength. The Saints had 170 rushing yards against the Giants. Now, the Giants' defense, in my opinion, is not as good as the Redskins' defense. But the other thing that makes me a little nervous The Saints held Saquon to 10 carries for 44 yards.
The Giants are terrible.
They are. Their offensive line is really not good.
I mean, it's one carry, right? It could have been 11 for 105.
Right.
It's just like the first week he had that, what, 66-yard run? You take away that, I think he ran for 30 or 35 yards.
Right. No, you're right. And he only had 10 carries because they were – the Giants were playing catch-up pretty much the entire game. Eli threw 41 passes. He was still pretty proficient, 31 of 41, 255 and a touchdown. He was sacked three times. Odell Beckham was again kept in check, seven catches for 60 yards. I would say this. The Saints are a above-average defense to a point. They're not a great defense. The Redskins should be able to move the football against them.
I agree. I think it just goes back to which offense is going to show up.
How would you start the game? They came
play
out.
Action. Play action. I would start every game play action deep.
I didn't mean the first play. I meant in general. They came out last week throwing, and they scored on, what, four plays?
Yes, I would do that, and I would hope either the Saints defer or you win the flip and you take the ball. Never defer.
No, I would agree with you. I never defer. I'm taking the ball, and I'm going to, again, like I said they should do against the Packers, and they kind of did it, I would have set up the run by starting with the pass. I'd get Jordan Reed involved early. I'd get Chris Thompson involved early. I would throw screens. I would try a couple deep balls. It sounds like Doxson got hurt or is hurt. I wouldn't even dress him.
Do you think that's true, or do you think they're just politely
saving face?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'd come out hot, and I'm going to try to get a 10, 14-point lead. And then you start feeding the ball to AP a little bit, establish the run, and if you can really get the ball running, then you want to eat up clock and keep Breeze on the sideline. But you got to get out to a lead against these guys. Breeze can come back from a big deficit, but it's much worse. The Redskins are not a team, in my opinion, that can come back from a large deficit.
No. I wouldn't say the Redskins. I would just say Alex Smith is probably not the person you want at the helm in that situation.
Probably not.
Not a negative, but as we saw in that game, he is going to check down and complete passes. But you kind of need someone who's going to force them. Like, I don't really care about end-of-the-game interceptions. You got to take your shots down the field, right?
Absolutely. You can't win if you don't take risks, especially when you're behind.
All right, John Madden. 95% of the time, if you score more points than the other team, you win.
I think it's 100% of the time. I think I would happen to agree with you. I think that Alex Smith is a front-running quarterback, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. He's obviously better with the lead. Drew Brees seems to be behind two touchdowns almost every week and then comes back. He wasn't against the Giants. They were consistently ahead. One thing that makes me a little bit nervous, they had 170 rushing yards, the Saints did, last week, and Mark Ingram is making his return this week after a four-game PED suspension. I like the Redskins' rush defense. Do you think they give up more than 100 yards on the ground this week?
Absolutely.
Kamara, Ingram combined. Ingram might only get maybe 10 carries because he's just getting himself back into it. I think the Redskins, you don't want to get into a shootout with the Saints, but I think that might be their only way of winning. Is if they start fast, much like they did with the Packers, start fast and then ride out the lead. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it's going to be an up-tempo game, right? It's going to be a shootout.
Yeah. Fast turf in New Orleans. It's going to be a raucous crowd. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. I don't think it's a game. I don't foresee a situation where the Redskins win big. I think it's a game where they either win a close game or they get blown out.
Yeah, I really hope it's not a blowout.
Yeah, it's one of those games. If you look at the next few games for the Redskins, it's early in the season, but these next few games could really make or break their season, in my opinion.
I mean, it's true. We'd be 3-1.
But it's not just that. I mean, the Saints could potentially be a team you're competing with for a wild card. They play the Panthers. Then you've got the Eagles, I think, are after the Panthers. I mean, this is a really important stretch for the Redskins. And this is one where they're coming off a bye. You should really be fresh coming off of a bye. I mean, it's an early bye. It's terrible luck for them. But I don't know. It's one of those things. I really want them to do well, but I haven't bought in completely because I don't want to be completely destroyed when they lose on Monday night.
Yeah, they're going to lose. It's my prediction. 31-13.
Wow. So it's pretty much the Saints are going to be in control all game?
They're going to be buying supplies for things.
Oh, okay. For those of you that couldn't see, Josh did a hand motion. That was sexually explicit, so we will move on. Skins had a couple of injuries over the bye week. Morgan Moses still dealing with a concussion, but they think he'll play. Sean Laval's got a calf. He's listed as questionable. Trent Williams had a knee operation, small operation to clean up his knee. He's expected to play Monday night. Adrian Peterson is listed as probable with an ankle injury. Other than that, the team's relatively healthy. So you say 31-13?
31-13. Saints.
Saints. Okay. I think it's going to be closer than that. I'll say probably 31-24 Saints. I think the Skins are going to lose. This is not a situation where they've shown up in the past, and I hate to say it, but I do think that they're not going to win.
It doesn't bother me to say it.
Okay. Let me ask you this. For 1 week at least, the Redskins are all alone in first place in the NFC East. Does that mean anything to you?
No. Does it mean anything to you?
No. I mean, it's better than not being in first place, but I think that's about as far as I would take it.
Yeah, I mean, who even knows who's good?
Well, let's jump into the NFCs. We were talking about the Giants. The Giants' season, is it too early to say that their season's over?
God, I'm just going to be so annoyed when they get the first or second pick.
Again, right? And they finally get somebody to replace Eli.
Mm-hmm.
But they're 1-3. They're not going to get the first pick. I think the Cardinals are going to get the first pick, probably.
The Cardinals are not very good.
No. Josh Rosen did not have a good first game. Philly, that was a pretty thrilling game at the end. Did you happen to watch the Philly-Tennessee game? Philly loses 23-16 in overtime. They went into overtime. It was quite interesting. The Titans get the ball with like 3 or 4 minutes left. It might have been even less than that. They convert. They go 3-for-3 on fourth down in overtime to win the game. And Wentz had a good day, 33-of-50 for 348 and 2 touchdowns. Jay Ajayi, 15 for 70 yards. And Alshon Jeffrey had a big day. He catches 105 and a touchdown. But the end of that game is, I mean, they basically had a walk-off touchdown. They scored with, what, like 10 seconds left, throwing a ball into the end zone. Kind of a fluky game. Philly didn't look that great, though. They look very, very beatable.
They haven't looked good at all this year.
No, they got away with the win in week one against Atlanta. And at 2-2, again, they look beatable. And Wentz, it's going to probably take him a while. He had a decent day, but it's going to take him a while to get back into the swing of things. And they don't have, I don't know, I don't think their offense is as potent as it was last year. And they're not fooling anybody this year. Safe to say?
Yeah.
Dallas won on a final drive as well in Detroit, 26-24. Dak again, 255 yards, 2 touchdowns, probably his best game of the year. Ezekiel Elliott went off, 25 carries for 152 yards, adding also 4 catches, 88 yards, a touchdown. Their leading receiver was Ezekiel Elliott. Their best wide receiver of the day was Cole Beasley, only had 4 catches for 53 yards. They're in a very similar situation to the Redskins. They have no targets, none whatsoever. Dez Bryant said this week that he'd really like to go back to Dallas. I think he'd like to go anywhere, to be honest.
Yeah, at this point, I don't think anybody wants him.
I don't want to talk about Dez Bryant too much. I mean, he's just a waste of time. But Dallas did win with a 38-yard field goal as time expired in the fourth quarter. The big play was a 34-yard completion down the seam to Zeke on 2nd and 10 from the Dallas 41. Dallas is 2-2 after starting. Well, no, they were 1-1, and now they're 2-2. I don't know, man. What do you think about the NFC East as a whole?
Who knows?
I don't think they're a bad division, but I don't think they're a great division. A bad division would be the NFC West with the Cardinals. The 49ers are not good now that Garoppolo's out. Seahawks are a middling team probably. And then you have the class of the NFC and the Rams.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we're probably the second worst division in football.
In football? All of football?
Yeah.
NFC South is starting to... The Bucs, who you were really high on last week, they've had...
I don't even remember that. See, I don't listen to the... Who knows?
Well, Fitz Magic is... Fitz gone. Jameis Winston.
It had to stop sometime.
Jameis Winston was named their starter. I still don't see... I mean, the Rams... That game Thursday night, Rams against the Vikings, that was a show. And you looked at it and go... At least I looked at it and I went, there's no way the Redskins can beat either one of these teams.
The Bills can beat the Vikings.
Yeah. But the Rams are supposed to be a very good defense. And the Vikings kind of had their way with their defense for the most part. They did tighten up in the second half, but... I mean, Cousins had a huge day. Jared Goff is like otherworldly. I mean, he's got great targets. You know, Cooper Kupp had a big day. I don't know. The Rams are the class of the NFC, but I don't see five other teams that are better than the Redskins right now. Again, the Redskins have only played three games.
Wait, are we just going back to the fact that I said that I think the Buccaneers are better than the Redskins?
No, you said that I asked you, I believe, who the top four teams in the NFC were.
And I threw the Buccaneers in there?
You did.
I mean.
It was a bad situation for you. They played Monday night, so they lost two games after you said it in a week.
Yeah.
They were 2-0, and they had two blowouts. They looked amazing. I mean, that's why the NFL is a week-to-week league. You can't. I'm not trashing you for saying that the Bucs were going to be good. My predictions are garbage. I said the Redskins were going to lose to the Packers. And now I'm saying they're going to lose to the Saints. Hopefully I'm wrong. I don't know. Anything else you want to add about the Redskins?
No, not really.
Quiet week. Bye week. Not much to talk about when it comes to the game. I am looking forward to Monday night. I'll be sitting out on my patio with the fire pit going. Going to enjoy it. Have a few cocktails, but we are going to record on Tuesday morning. Or no, Tuesday. Not Tuesday morning. It'll be published Wednesday morning. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Josh is going to wow us with his Caps preview, and then I'll do the Wizards preview, and we'll see what happens. See you guys in a second. All right, Josh, we're back. We're going to do a little Caps and Wizards talks. Excuse me, Caps and Wizards talk here. Before we jump in, I'm going to let you guys remind you guys that to check out our affiliate, the DMVSportsNetwork.com. That is DMVSportsNetwork.com. If you're interested in joining their writing staff or doing a podcast, send them a direct message at DMV_SN on Twitter. They have added other podcasts. There's going to be a Nats podcast, a Nats heavy podcast. There's going to be a Caps podcast. There's already one that's started in regards to fantasy football. So check all that out if you're interested in doing a podcast for them. Or writing some blogs, writing some articles, reach out to them on Twitter at DMV_SN and check out the website DMVSportsNetwork.com. Josh, I'm just curious. I said it was a Caps preview. We don't necessarily have to call it a preview. It's 7 minutes into the first game of the season and the banner day for the Caps. They're up 2-0.
It's a good start to the season.
Good start to the season. So tell me, how about this? I'll pose questions to you, and you tell me what you think.
Well, let's start with Tom Wilson. Let's start with what you think about that.
I think it's an excessive, excessive penalty.
Why?
25% of the season. I understand you said to me before we jumped on, he's been suspended, what, four times in the last 104 games. He is a repeat offender. He's a headhunter. None of what I'm saying is not factual. He's a headhunter. Other players around the league absolutely don't like him. Sidney Crosby actually commented on it, said he hasn't learned a thing about it.
I have a problem with that. I don't think he needs to weigh in.
No, but Addison Russell was suspended today. Did you know that? He lost 40 games next year.
For
beating his wife. 40 games, won't appeal. He's going to serve the 40 games. Before the MLB did their investigation, he denied allegations. They did their investigation. They say 40 games, and he goes, okay, doesn't fight it. That's a quarter of the season for domestic violence. Tom Wilson gets a quarter of the season for being aggressive on the ice. 10 games, maybe. 20 games is too many. What do you think?
So, yes, I agree. It's a long suspension. That's a lot of games. I think I have mixed emotions. The other 30 teams would love to have him on their team. Like, everybody can talk about how much they hate him, but that's a guy that you want on your team because that's a guy that can go out there and send a message, like he did in Pittsburgh. You know, like, he can change. He changes emotion levels in games, right? Like, he's an effort guy. The problem is he's so unique in the fact that he is, I mean, he's got the physical skills, but he actually can play hockey too. Like, he's not, you know, he's not Happy Gilmore. He doesn't just go out there, look for somebody to punch, and then go to the penalty box. Although, he is one of the most penalized players. Why is he hitting, like, I mean, it's preseason. I mean, that guy shouldn't have gone through the middle without his blinker on and his head down. But, well, you don't need to check somebody like that in preseason hockey. That's stupid.
Oh, it was a stupid hit. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was a garage sale.
It was awesome. Yeah, I mean, it was. You played me the video of Craig Walker.
Wow.
Almost like he saw the train wreck coming in slow motion, and he's just like, whoa.
I mean, it's like, objects in motion tend to stay in motion, right?
Right.
It's just that when he hits people,
it's inertia.
He still is in motion, and they just stop.
That's science. It's Sir Isaac. Is it Isaac Newton?
Yeah.
Science. If you were the Caps, would you go to Tom Wilson and would you say, you got to curtail the way you play?
I mean,
I need you on the ice.
I tell him that, but I don't think.
What's
if he hasn't learned now, what's...
What's the next suspension? If this one's 20 games,
he's done for a year.
For a year?
Yeah.
He's an old school player in a new school world.
It's like football.
It's concussions.
Yeah.
Right? It's head trauma. He's an old school player in a new school world where he's... You're going to hate this now. He's Chase Utley. Utley goes into second base, likes breaking up, and that's why they changed the rule because of Chase Utley. Remember breaking up the double play, broke the kid's leg in the World Series?
Yeah, why do I have a problem with that?
Oh, I don't know. You might think that comparing Chase Utley to Tom Wilson is a terrible comparison, but I think that's...
Why?
Or he's any pitcher that likes to throw inside or hit people in baseball. Send a message.
It's the same. I think it's more... He just plays hard.
He plays hard. He does headhunt though. He caught a guy.
I mean, he's just taller than everybody else, right? You know, it's like,
sure,
it's like 4 or 5 inch difference.
But do you think he deserved 20 games?
Yeah, honestly,
you do.
I mean,
what impact will it have on cap season? Any?
No.
I think you're probably right. I mean, he'll come back. He'll be fresh.
Yeah.
And the Caps. Well, let me ask you this.
They're so deep.
I mean, they are very deep. And they brought most of the bands coming back
and
together.
There's no expectations. Again, everybody has Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh.
But they brought most of the band back for another run at it.
Yeah.
I asked you because they played all the way to the end, and it really felt like a short offseason. What impact, if any, do you think? Obviously, you said no hangover, but this is the first game. They put the banner up. When they get into the groove of games, you know, in the week, in the next few weeks, do you think that there will be a hangover, an energy hangover to their season?
I think that every defending champion goes through that. I think that I want to say Pittsburgh might have done it twice, where they've come back and won the Stanley Cup after winning the Stanley Cup. They repeat it.
Right.
But I mean, you're basically playing another season emotionally. I think the celebrating and everybody partying was, you know, just overreported. I don't think any of those guys, I don't think they went crazy. I just think that that extra 2 months takes a toll.
That's what I mean. I don't mean the partying. They deserve the party, but I mean like the time for their bodies to rest.
But I mean, half the time those guys go play in Worlds. You know, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Maybe emotionally you're tired, but I mean, again, they're professionals.
No, they are. Let me ask you this. I mean, Ovi is getting older. Still not that old, but he's getting older. Do you, if you're Todd Reardon, do you maybe limit his minutes early in the season?
Oh, no chance.
Okay. I'm asking questions.
No, I think he's an outlier. I think that his, and he's only gotten healthier, like in terms of like conditioning, and I mean he's a freak.
He's a freak.
I mean, you look at him and he just looks like an average person. But not a whole lot of hockey players are 6'2", 225 and are thoroughbreds. Like he's got like a dad bod, except he's a Russian machine that does not break.
I think that might be the title of the episode. I gotta think.
We
about
can't
it.
Do that. I mean, there's a great website out there.
No. He's got a dad bod.
Oh, he definitely does.
Yeah. No, that might be. So when you're talking about Alex Ovechkin, I mean, a world class athlete, one of the top three hockey players in the world.
I mean, hockey players aren't out there like benching 500 pounds.
No, they can't. They can't because they need to play 81 games.
I mean, they could bench 500 pounds. It's just their upper body strength is not. I mean, you look at, I remember Alexander Semin. You look at Kuznetsov, like those guys are like 170 pounds soaking wet.
And they fly down the ice.
Yeah.
So what is the, you say that the expectations across the league, across pundits is not high. What's the Josh expectation for this team?
I mean, I don't think they're, I think they'll make the playoffs. I think they could go on a run. My biggest question mark is going to be the backup goaltending. Really, the only reason they were able to go as far as they did and they were in the position where they finished the year was because of Grubauer. Basically bailed them out. So the question is, can Phoenix Copley come in and do what he did? You can't expect that, but Holtby's not going to... I like the fact that they kind of limited Holtby, you know, in a down year. I mean, that was a down year for Holtby.
It's almost a forgotten thing that Grubauer started the postseason as the starting goalie.
Yeah.
It's not forgotten among Caps fans because of what Holtby did coming back in. But it's among hockey fans, it's almost forgotten that the Caps...
Yeah, he earned that, though.
He did. No, he totally earned it. But that they were down, what, 2-0, and they made the switch back to Holtby. What do you think? You think that they'll just keep going with Reardon? Do you think that there'll be...
I don't think
in style of play.
Anyway. Not at all. I think that that's going to be one of the most seamless coaching. I mean, that's been planned. That move had to be made to keep Reardon here. He was going to be a head coach somewhere. Why not here?
He's Jason Garrett. Kidding. But remember, they got rid of Wade Phillips because Jason Garrett was going to go somewhere else. I know. I did that mainly to make you squirm. Anything else you think we should know about them? Well, who is it? I mean, you said Tampa. You said Pittsburgh. Who are their main?
What's going to happen in Toronto?
Yeah.
What's going to happen in Philadelphia? I mean, my God, what are they doing with that mascot? That's going to give little kids nightmares. Gritty.
Right. I was looking at it. And I'm like, what the?
Why?
They're trying to do something similar to the Fanatic, I think. I think that's the only thing I can think of.
The Fanatic's, like, at least approachable. That thing's going to...
What is the Fanatic? I don't want to go off on a tangent, but is it like an anteater? I don't even know what it is.
No, I think it's a fluffy animal that somebody shoved the trombone right in its nose.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
You know what is it, a Vuvuzela or whatever?
Vuvuzela.
Whatever.
From the World
Cup.
They
just right into its nose.
There you go. You think if you had to put odds on it, them just getting back to the Stanley Cup Finals?
It's so hard.
Did they catch lightning in a bottle last year, and it wasn't so much they were the best team in the East or the best team in hockey, but they were just... I mean, I think that's what playoff hockey is being hot at the right time, right?
Right. Low expectations. They played as a team. They bought into what they were... They finally bought into a team concept, and like playoff hockey is very different than regular season hockey. Just people are blocking shots. Everybody sold out. I mean, you had secondary scoring from your third and fourth line. You had huge goals from DSP, Lars Eller. Everything that could go right went right. And for the first time, all those bouncing pucks that bounced against them bounced for them.
Oh, the Hopi's the save.
It was just dumb luck.
That really was. He just slammed his pad down. Flame to stick down, and it was...
It'll be interesting. Again, low expectations. It's the same team.
What would be a disappointing year for you? What would make you at the end of the
season...
First round exit? Okay.
Yeah.
So if they do their traditional thing of getting to the second round, you're okay?
Yeah, absolutely. And the part of the problem is they're in the toughest division in hockey.
Right.
And the way hockey playoffs are set up is so stupid. Because 2 years ago, when Pittsburgh and Washington met, you had the arguably the two best teams in hockey, the two hottest teams in hockey, playing in the second round of the playoffs. Like, that's absurd. That should not happen.
Right.
The two best teams in a division should only play in their conference finals.
I agree with you.
Like, that was just a weird...
I think they need to do a realignment of some sort. Try to figure that out.
But, I mean, they just did.
I know. But you're right. They need... That is
I think it should go back to the basketball. I think it should go back to the way it was. Everybody's in... You know... You're
two conferences.
Yeah, well, you're 1-15,
and then
top eight teams make it.
Okay, and then one plays eight, and do you reseed after the first round?
Absolutely.
Okay,
I like that. I don't know why they went away from it.
Yeah. Any final thoughts? Oh no, Caps.
Go Caps.
Go Caps, baby. Hey, It's nice to have a winner in town. Let's talk about the Wizards for a little bit. Or do you want to take a break real quick? You good? You good? Okay. Let's talk about the Wiz. They finished last year at 43-39. They were eighth in the East. They got knocked out in six games. In the first round of the Raptors, Wall only played 41 games last year. He averaged 19.4 points per game and 9.6 assists. He only shot 42% from the field. Beal played all 82, averaged 22.6 a game with 4.5 assists per game. He shot 46%. Otto Porter played 77 games, 14.7 points per game. They were very balanced last year in that they scored 106.6 points per game and gave up 106 even. That's pretty much why they were right around a 500 team, 43-39. Their key additions this year, Dwight Howard, he's 33 years old, coming over from the Hornets. He averaged 16.5 a game last year with 12.5 rebounds, which surprisingly, I was surprised to see this, he was pretty much at his career average.
Yeah, it was a resurgence for him.
It was. His career average is roughly 16.5 points per game and 12 rebounds a game. So if you get that Dwight Howard, I think you feel pretty good about the Wiz. Austin Rivers coming over from the Clippers. He averaged 15 points per game and 4 assists. He's going to be their sixth man, probably. And he could be one of the better sixth men. You think he starts?
No.
I think he'll be their sixth man.
Yeah.
I mean, they're deeper than they were. Jeff Green was my next. They coming over from the Cavs. He only averaged pretty much 11 points per game. He's 32. Rivers is 26. Nice thing about Jeff Green is local guy, originally from Hyattsville, and obviously a fantastic Georgetown player at Georgetown. So I think they're deeper this year. Do you?
Yeah, I'm just happy to see Mike Scott gone. He was infuriating. I know some Wizards fans love him, but God, I remember going to games and watching him. Couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. Like, literally just throwing bricks up. Like, what is Mike Scott doing? I think they got better. I don't know if it's going to work for them. Let me ask you this. Is John Wall a superstar?
He's a superstar in Washington. Is he a superstar in the NBA? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think he can carry a team on his own to a conference finals. And that, to me, would be the definition of a superstar.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely can't do that. And he has a supporting cast.
Right. Like James Harden, superstar, can carry you to the Eastern Conference Finals or even to the finals. LeBron, Steph Curry. Wall is not in that class. He would be, to me, the second level of player.
Is he a top five point guard?
He's around five.
Yeah.
Yeah, around five, maybe six, five or six. He's in that neighborhood.
I just don't think, like, we thought 3 years ago, you started looking at this team and you're like, they're going to make their run. This is going to be a team that is going to be able to challenge for the Eastern Conference Finals every year. Do you think is this the ceiling? I mean, the way they finished last year, they basically came skidding in, plowing into vehicles left and right to the playoffs.
Right. Let me ask you this. How good is the Eastern Conference?
It's terrible.
Yeah, that's the thing. You asked me if this is the year. LeBron's gone. LeBron, but I'm saying, with LeBron in the East, you knew that one of the teams in the Eastern Conference Finals were going to be the Cavs. So now you have two spots, and the class of the East is probably the Celtics, maybe the Sixers.
Toronto,
yeah. I mean, they added Kawhi Leonard. So, but it's not crazy to think that the Wiz could be in the top four.
I think there's those three teams.
And then anybody else. I've always really liked Milwaukee just because of, and I can't say his name.
Giannis.
Giannis or whatever. Yeah, it's Giannis.
Antetokounmpo.
Thank you. There we go. I think he might be the best player in the East now that LeBron is gone. Love watching him play.
I mean, I think you can go Ben Simmons. You can go Embiid. Kawhi.
Philly is the up-and-coming team.
Yeah.
They're your young core. If the Wizards stay, if you get a healthy Dwight Howard for 82 games, a healthy John Wall for 82 games, and these are big ifs, huge ifs. If Bradley Beal continues to take a step forward, if you get a healthy and productive Jeff Green,
I think
their ceiling's a four seed.
The team was not better without John Wall, but it was more fun to watch. Bradley Beal could play point. I liked Sato.
Well, Rivers could play point.
Yeah. I mean,
he's going to be their swing guard. He can play point guard or shooting guard.
I just don't know. Like, there's too much Gortat's drama last year with the whole everybody's eating.
You obviously think that there's an issue with Wall.
I do.
What is it that he's a ball hog?
But he's not a ball hog in the traditional sense, right? No, because like when you think of a ball hog, you think of Harden.
Right. Taking 40 shots a game.
I think he's the ball hog in terms of he's going to hold the ball for 20 seconds. And somebody's going to get the ball, but they're going to have 4 seconds
to
shoot.
So he's not setting up a play well enough.
I don't know what's... It's an enigma, right? Like, I don't understand why... What's wrong with that team? Nobody thinks they're going to do anything this year. I know everybody's dogging John Wall. Bradley Beal is basically reduced to a second fiddle.
Which he shouldn't be. In my mind, he's the best player on the team.
Yeah. And then you have Oubre and Porter. I mean, you have three max players, right? This team's not getting any better.
No, Porter being the highest paid player on a team, which is crazy to think about. He has developed well. But, I mean, last year he averaged 15 points a game, 6 points. I mean, they don't have anybody like... And there aren't 30 of those guys to go around, but they don't have anybody like Steph Curry. They don't have anybody like a LeBron James or a James Harden. They just don't. Oh, Kawhi Leonard. They don't even have that.
I mean, it's Washington. I don't think anybody really wants to come here. John Wall said that his career would not be completed without a championship. Which, I mean, that's besides the obvious.
They're never going to win a title.
No. They have no chance.
They have no chance because in the NBA, in my opinion, you can't win a title without one of the top five or six players.
Or the top five players. All on one
team. All on one team if you're Golden State? Sure.
I mean, that's not the top five players, but... I have no problem with that. I could care less.
No, it's just I think it makes the regular season relatively meaningless for those teams.
Well, the East will be interesting.
The East is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be fun to watch the Wizards play.
I think Boston just.
Well, yeah, they get Gordon Hayward back. He played one game last year.
And Kyrie.
Yeah,
healthy Kyrie.
I'm saying the two of them together, they could be the 1-2 punch the Celtics need. And the Celtics, without Hayward, won 55 games last year, and they were second in the East.
Why can't we have that with Wall and Beal?
I don't know. And now you actually have a big man that can pull down boards.
Right, and that's... I mean, you're throwing him into the mix. Like, is he going to... It's just... It could either work out really well, or it could be way worse than last year, and you have Howard going to the media, talking behind people's backs, and Scott Brooks is gone next year. I don't know. I don't know what to expect of the team.
So there's a wide array of what could
there's
happen.
There's no reason they shouldn't win 45 games.
All right, I agree with you. So here's a question. What is their max potential?
50. At
50
best.
Wins? Yeah. And how far in the playoffs? Can they get in a perfect scenario?
I think they get to the second round.
Second round, not even the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah. Okay. What's the worst scenario? 30? 30 wins?
No, I think worst case is 35.
But out of the playoffs, obviously, at 35 wins. Well, maybe not.
No,
but
probably.
Yeah,
if they miss the playoffs,
it's blow up time.
Oh yeah, I mean you're getting, everybody's gone.
You think Troy Brown? It's a first round pick out of Oregon. You think he plays at all? He's only 19.
I don't think he contributes a lot this year.
He's 6'7", 215, so he's really thin. But he
plays good defense. Though.
He does. Only played one year at Oregon. 35 games, averaged 11 points per game. Had 6 boards per game and 3 assists. He's kind of that swing. He can play kind of guard, but he can also play small forward.
Right. I mean, so he's like Otto Porter and Kelly Oubre. Yeah. Let's just keep drafting those players.
You don't need a point guard if you have Wall, though.
I mean, they draft their draft has been shit anyway. Well, so
why is Ernie Grunfeld still have a job?
That is mind blowing.
I think he's got nudies, man. He's got nudies.
I think he's got more than that. I think Ted was doing some just weird stuff. And that's what he's got.
Back at AOL, he's got a bunch of pictures of him or something.
I'm talking about like cult or like associations with unsavory people.
I don't know why he still has a job. I think that their best case scenario, if everything goes well, I mean, this is talking all-star season from Dwight Howard. Wall finds himself. I think that they could find themselves in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think it's possible. That's like the best case scenario.
I agree with that. I mean, it is possible.
I think their median, where they're probably going to end up, is probably around the 4, 5, 6 seed. and they'll probably get bounced. It's possible they get bounced in the first round, if not the second. I think that's probably what their median is.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, do you blow up the team? It's the same thing. You're not getting any better.
It's the same thing when they had Arenas and they had Anton Jameson and
No, this is a much better team.
Right, but there was the same situation. They were getting to the playoffs and people were happy because the Wizards never got to the playoffs. They were getting to the playoffs and then people got tired of first round exits. It's a different group of players.
We don't have people bringing guns into the locker room.
I'm not saying that Wall's like Arenas. I'm just saying...
Nobody is like Agent Zero.
I mean, their big three back then were Jameson, Haywood, and Arenas.
I don't know about that, but...
Okay. But they were the best team that this city had seen in years, since Juwan Howard and Chris Webber.
Those weren't overwhelming teams either.
No. They weren't. That's the thing. It's been terrible basketball since the late 70s.
Yeah.
Terrible basketball.
The Mystics are way better. They went to the...
They did. They lost in...
Four games.
No, five? Three.
Three?
They I don't know swept. How many they are. I think they played Seattle? Best of, I think they played best of five, and they got swept.
They would play best of five.
And Elena Deladon got hurt.
What, do they play like 5-minute quarters?
I'm going to skip the misogyny. I'm going to move right on. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do our mixed bag at the end. Talk a little baseball. Very exciting wild card game last night between the Cubs and Rockies. Right now, the Yankees and the A's are playing. They're probably still in the first inning, if not maybe the top of the second.
2-0 New York.
2-0 New York already. All right. So we will jump right back. Give us a second, and we'll see you soon. All right, Josh, let's jump into the mixed bag. I know we've got some explosive shit to talk about at the end.
I don't. I'm so calm and so at peace with myself. I feel so good about the situation that I'm just like super excited to be a Nats fan.
Really can't wait to hear it. season for the Nats is over. They were 82-80, finished in second place in the National League East. It is the seventh or eighth consecutive season with a winning record. I think it's eighth.
No one cares.
Okay. A lot of farewells over the weekend the past week. Yeah. My two favorites, because Bryce is in kind of a weird thing, got washed out before his last at bat. They were planning on having him replaced in the outfield in the last inning. He gets washed out because of rain. That's kind of poetic. Adam Jones, I mean, how did you feel about that? That must have been tough, watching him. No?
I'm still a little bitter about the whole trade situation.
Oh.
Okay. I wasn't the biggest fan of how he handled that. I mean, I still like him, but...
So you didn't see that as he wanted to finish it with his team. You thought it was more of it being selfish.
Do you think he's done playing? He's 33.
No, I think he's going to get like a 3 or 4 year deal worth a sizable amount of money. He's still a very good outfielder.
I think it was...
He didn't want to uproot his family?
No. None of that. Like, I'm confused as what his... Like, I don't know what his end game is. Because if his end game was to come back to Baltimore, why would you not do... Baltimore is solid.
Right. And do yourself a solid because you can improve.
Correct. Your team. And you're an hour and a half away in Philadelphia. And you make your team better. You come home and sign. That's the conversation I would have. But I don't think, like, I'm assuming he's gone now.
Well, he doesn't want to come back, does he?
He I have might no idea.
He might want to come back. Baltimore, there's no reason to bring him back. You're rebuilding.
Right.
I mean, that's what I mean. You're rebuilding.
So then I guess maybe that's what happened. Maybe he's like, yeah, I'll take it, but I'm coming back. And they're like, yeah, why? Like, why do you, I mean, right. Well, I'd be like, well, I just bought Cal Ripken's house. So it's awesome. It has a baseball field.
Speaking of the Orioles, before we go to the other farewells, they did fire Buck today.
I think people need to stop using the word fire. I think they did him a favor. I think that was mutual. I think that's out of respect to Buck. He can go find a job and continue his career and not have to be a part of the rebuild.
I think he should try to get the Anaheim Angels job.
I think he should be the Washington Nationals manager.
The Nationals aren't firing Davey Martinez.
I can't. It's going to be awesome. Bryce is going to be back. This team's never going to win a World Series.
Okay. Come on, man. I'm trying to be positive here. But really, if he's got the opportunity to go play with the best player, to go manage the best player in baseball, to go manage the best young player in Shohei Ohtani, why wouldn't he? That's got to be the most attractive job, the Angels job. I would think.
Yeah, I can't think of what else.
Yeah, Texas is open. Toronto's open.
Yeah, I mean, I'd go to
the Reds, that. Which are nobody. I mean, Jim Ruggleman still wants the job, but anyway, Joe Mauer said goodbye. They let him catch one.
That
more
was awesome.
That was. Do you think he's done? He's only 36.
Yeah.
You think he's done?
Yeah.
Think he rides off into the sunset?
I mean, I don't know. I think you could tell, right? Like where I think Beltran was a question mark, because Beltran could still hit. Right. He could still DH. I think that was him, except like, I think that was awesome.
I looked at his career numbers. I was surprised. Crazy. He's a 306 career hitter with 2,100 career hits.
He's a Hall of Famer.
At 2,100 hits? He's a 300 hitter.
He's stuck on like single stats, like OPS or like hits. Not like the entirety of someone's career. He's a catcher. He's one of the best offensive catchers. He did move to first, but will go down as one of the best offensive catchers.
I don't disagree. I just asked at 2,100 career hits.
So then
3,000 hits used to be the benchmark. At the major,
so only
Cooperstown is the hardest Hall of Fame to get into by far.
Okay.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. I'm asking you if you think.
I just don't understand why you're going on one stat. Oh, hits. Okay,
well his home runs,
can't check that one.
His home runs, he averaged 10 home runs a year.
Yeah, so?
I think he had 130 home runs in, what, 15 years? I mean, I'm ballparking it. I'm not looking right at his stats. He's a great ball player.
55.1 career war. That's
in how many seasons? 15 seasons.
Yeah.
So, I mean, still great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he averaged almost four wins per game above replacement a year.
3 gold gloves. 1 MVP, 5 silver sluggers, 5 all-star appearances.
I didn't say he wasn't a Hall of Famer.
Hit 365 one year.
He did. That was an amazing year. And he has a career average over 300. I think that, personally, I think he's a Hall of Famer. You're attacking me. I just asked one question, and you jumped down my throat. So you know what?
You know,
I'm
going to
move on.
I expect better things from you.
Do you think Hunter Pence is done? He says he's not.
I don't think he is.
But Jason Worth said he wasn't done at the end of last year either. They gave him a nice farewell, Hunter Pence, by the way. But I don't think he is. I think he needs to be able to accept a role as a fourth outfielder.
Yeah. David Wright.
That was the one I wanted to get to last. I don't like the Mets. Never have. I don't like their fans. But it's just a National League East thing. And that they have come down, and I give them credit. The seventh line army or whatever they are. They've come down and taken over sections of Nationals Park. I've had the unfortunate situation to be in one of those sections one time, and it's really not pleasant when you're a Nationals fan. But the David Wright thing it made me almost get emotional because the guy fought so hard to get back to the field and his body failed him. And I think that some people forget how good he was at his peak. He was a great, great baseball player.
Yeah, he's a 30-30 guy. People forget that he's still a bases.
Yeah, he's a great baseball player. He was, there was at one time when he and Ryan Zimmerman were considered the up-and-coming stars of the game. Both got derailed by injuries.
Zim didn't have spinal stenosis.
No, Zim can't. Zim's right shoulder's garbage, though.
Yeah, could all be in his head.
Did you know I saw an interesting stat about Zim, since we're talking about him? He had the second highest hard hit percentage in all of baseball this year. Did you know that? He always does. He always hits the ball hard. But anyway, the David Wright thing, it was awesome. It was great to see. I felt for him. I hope that he can stay around the club. I hope that they give him some sort of job in the front office or something. It was, and the Mets did it right. The only thing I didn't like is that they also did a farewell to Jose Reyes at the same time. He's not at the same caliber for them as David Wright is. And I'm sure David Wright didn't mind. I think the two of them are close, but David Wright should have had his own farewell. Any thoughts on that?
No.
Okay. There were two tiebreaker games on Monday. Both of the games were kind of... The Milwaukee Cubs game was pretty good. The Cubs are now eliminated. They lost last night in 13 innings to the Rockies. So the Rockies will play at the Brewers starting tomorrow. And the Yankees are currently, I think you said, up 2-0 on the A's.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the Red Sox-Yankees series. I think it's going to be fun. But the game I'm really looking forward to is Verlander-Kluber, which is Friday.
True. Let me ask you a question. Why doesn't Jose Reyes deserve the same send-off as David Wright? Because he's not as much of a Met as David Wright?
he didn't play his whole career with the Mets.
13 years.
Right, but he went and played with Miami, and then he was in Colorado. And then you add on top of that the issues that he's had off the field. He's not David Wright.
Oh, he's not David Wright, but, I mean, you are looking at a guy that stole 60 bases, 64 bases, 78 bases. I mean, had a pretty impressive early career.
What's he done the last few years for them? And I know that Wright hasn't played.
What's anyone done for the Mets the last couple of years?
Jacob DeGrom's going to win the Cy Young.
Yeah, that's true.
And they went to the World Series in 2015.
No one remembers that.
Daniel Murphy remembers that.
That's sad seeing him in a Cubs uniform.
I'm glad it's over. I'm glad I only had to see it twice in the play. Well, once in the tie, whatever it was, play-in game and tiebreaker right. game. Yeah. And then once I hate the Chicago Cubs. I never hated them before. I hate them. They've turned into entitled baseball fans because they won one World Series. I'm not a fan of them.
I would not say that they're those. No,
and I don't.
I would not call them entitled. They are the Cleveland Brown fans of baseball. Those are diehard baseball. They're true baseball fans.
They're great baseball fans. Joe Maddon complains way too much. He's a whiner. I don't like Anthony Rizzo. I think Rizzo thinks a lot higher of himself than he should. He's a great baseball player. Don't get me wrong. I'm just not a big fan of them. They also knocked the Nats out last year, and Lindsay said. My wife, Lindsay, said I know how to hold a grudge. So that's probably most of it. I don't like the Cardinals either. They knocked the Nats out. I don't like the Giants.
I mean, basically everyone in the National League's knocked the Nats out.
Okay. Any quick thoughts on the playoffs, how it's going to turn out for them? For anybody? Who do you think?
Boston. Is anybody going to beat Boston?
I don't know, man. Their top three pitchers, Sale, Price, and Porcello, have not been good in the playoffs.
No. But I'm rooting for the Dodgers. Because if the Dodgers win...
Manny wins.
And that means I can throw that in your fucking face.
You are so vindictive, but whatever. Whatever works for you, bud. I don't know if any team in the National League can beat the Brewers. Which is weird to say. Brewers but their bullpen is ridiculous.
And Gio has been lights out.
And Gio, of course. Of course he's been lights out. It would be poetic justice if Gio won a Game 5 for the Brewers, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would be poetic justice because he's lost two for the Nats. I think the Brewers are going to win the National League. I mean, we can talk more about this next week as they get into full swing. I still think Houston's the class. Their rotation is just ridiculous.
It's true. And offense is good, too.
I mean, their third starter in the ALDS is Keuchel. They go Verlander, Cole, Keuchel. I mean, that's just nuts.
And you have Charlie Morton.
Right, but their bullpen's not great.
No, but Osuna's been good at the end of it.
But their offense just puts up runs in buckets.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had to guess, I'd say it's probably going to be Houston and Milwaukee. But I got to see.
I wish Cleveland would.
I'd love to see Cleveland-Milwaukee. You got two small market or medium market teams.
Huge baseball cities, though.
Oh, massive baseball cities. And they're so close to each other, you know, geographically. Rocks. I'd love to see Cleveland win. We've got a mutual friend who he would ball his eyes out if Cleveland won the World Series. So I would love to see for our buddy Roki, the Indians. And I love Terry Francona. Kluber, one of the top three pitchers in all of baseball, certainly deserves a ring. Jose Ramirez is great to watch. Yeah, I'd love to see. But I think it's probably going to be – if I were to put money on it, I'd say Houston and Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee beats the Rockies pretty easily. The Rockies can't score. The Dodgers probably beat the Braves.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much a given.
And then so Dodgers-Brewers?
Yep.
All right. You've been working on – they've been staring at your phone for a while, working on this last thought that you have. You said you told me before we jumped on you have come to grips with who Bryce Harper is. I don't know what that means, but I yield the floor to you, sir, by all means.
So I've got so many different directions I want to go with this, but...
I'll stay quiet.
First and foremost, and this is mind-blowing, and what brought this to light was the second-to-last game when I texted you, they're up 5-1, and he tagged up from first and gets thrown out at second. Hustling.
in a 5-1 ball game, 3 games left in the season, makes no difference. And this all circles back to our discussion on how bad defensively, metrics-wise, he's been this year. We're not talking like a tiny regression. He has infinitely... He's been a detriment in the outfield defensively for no reason, which, of course, which in your mind, you said, hey, he's learning to play. He's trying to make it through the year healthy, which I think's a crock of shit. But I'm beginning to wonder if he knows how to play baseball. I think he might be like Robert Griffin III. I think he might be so gifted that, one, his dad could have been in his ear from a very young age telling him, I know what to do, don't listen to anyone else. And he's been so talented that he hasn't had to listen to everyone. I mean, we can sit here, like, you and I both have played baseball, so that's not fair. We can both slide. All 600 pounds of us can slide, right?
Wow. Wow, man. We're not 600
pounds. All right, all 500 pounds of us. All 500 pounds could slide.
That's right.
35-year-old me can still slide.
I could carry you on my back and still slide.
Correct.
I'd probably break my leg.
And Robert Griffin is an immense talent.
Physically gifted,
right? The fact that he could not learn how to slide is mind-boggling. The fact that... First of all, I would never want someone on my team that's throttling it down to get a contract. I think that's the whole issue with the Nationals. But he doesn't change the way he hits. He has a very unique stance. No one else... I think he gets more out of that stance than 99.9% of the people that do, right? But he doesn't bunt. He doesn't get those hits. And instead of hitting 249, he could have hit 279. His on-base percentage could have... He could have led Major League Baseball with his on-base percentage with an extra 30 hits.
Oh, no doubt, because I think Trout led it at 460 or 470.
Yeah. If that defensive metrics is an indication of his level of effort, I would want no part of him. I think that's absurd. He is worth nothing to me. But, I mean, like... Maybe he just doesn't know how to play baseball. Maybe no one has actually taught him. Because he's not listening. No one's going to change the way he hits. He's had that stance for 5 years. Good or bad, he hits the ball 600 feet. And he has tremendous bat speed, tremendous power, tremendous hand... He has one of the best eyes in baseball. Like, he knows the strike zone, which is weird. How do you know the strike zone that well and still hit 244? That makes no sense. I'm still going... And to finish this off, this is the problem with the Nationals and why they will never win. Him getting Nats Player of the Year is a joke. This continues the participation trophy theme they have with Worth. All they're doing is placating to him. And as long as he's on that team, it's going to be Bryce Harper and the rest of the Washington Nationals. You can... Anthony Rendon had a hell of a year. Trey Turner had a hell of a year. Juan Soto had a historic year for a teenager. And you give it to Bryce Harper? That's garbage. Like, internally, I guarantee you no one would ever say it. I think that guy ruins locker rooms. I hope he's gone. And I will stand by this and I will fall on this sword. They can go ahead and re-sign him. He can get a hometown discount. He would want to stay here. A major market would eat him alive. They would hold him accountable for not hustling, not running balls out. Like, he gets treated with kid's gloves here. He gets a trophy being the best offensive national player when he's at best the fifth best. It's absurd. I hate the way Nats fans adore him instead of holding him accountable. End of rant.
That's a lot to talk to. I'm going to start with the last thing that you talked about, which was the he got named, position player of the year. That was voted on by the media. It was not voted on by anybody. It wasn't the front office.
Oh, you mean the media who asked him questions and could hold him accountable in public?
You ask any Nats fan.
I mean, what, all five of them?
that actually know baseball?
I let you talk. Let me talk. You ask any Nats fan, the position player of the year is between Soto and Rendon. I don't think it's a question. Scherzer won pitcher of the year, for those of you that don't know. And Sean Doolittle won good guy of the year because of the way he treats the media, but also his availability when it comes to charities, etc. I think that's how it was run. So that's not the same thing as Worth, because Worth was honored by the Nationals. That was not a Nationals honor. That was an honor that the media gets together and bestows upon players. To talk to him throttling it down, that was my guess. I don't know why his defensive numbers have been so terrible this year. I don't. That's my guess. My guess is he goes, I'm not going to step in a pothole. I'm not going to run into a wall. I'm going to make it through the season. I've got potentially $300 million plus on the line. I don't disagree with you that when you're playing on a team that has World Series aspirations, you can't do that.
No.
And that's why players, he could have re-signed here 2 years ago. They actually had conversations about it, and maybe Boris's asking price was so ridiculous that the Nats went, we can't do it. It was over $500 million after his MVP season. Over $500 million he wanted. They didn't say how many years. I think Bob Nightingale from the USA Today reported on that it was like $540 million. For how many years? 30? How many years is it? If it's 12 years, it's $44 million a year, somewhere in that neighborhood. That's a joke.
Yeah.
So that's I would not want a guy that throttles down. But that's also why, if I'm a player, I want to re-sign so I'm not worrying about getting to a contract. He could have signed here 2 years ago for a large contract. I hope they sign Rendon in the offseason. He's a top five. According to F-War, Fantasy Graphs War, he's the number one player in all of the National League in the last 2 years. He is an unsung hero of that team.
Absolutely.
That's a really interesting thought, though, about him not knowing how to play baseball. I never even thought of that. And you know what? There's validity to that.
I didn't think of that. Made me think of it. Because it was our conversation about the hustle thing. And I'm like, what a weird time. And then you have FP. That guy knows what he's doing. I love the hustle there. I'm like, it's a meaningless game. He goes in head first. And, you know, he's jammed finger. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
And it did. It took a part. Like, he should have been safe. It did take. It was a great throw. But that's meaningless. Like, where was that halfway? It's just, what a bizarre time to do that.
The only, and again, I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. The only, if I had to guess, the only explanation I can think of was the contract situation weighed on him more than he thought it was going to. And he was in a haze from opening day. And this isn't excusing it. Don't get me wrong. It's not excusing it at all. Plenty of guys have gone into a contract year and played their asses off. JD Martinez, the most recent that I can think of. And look what he's doing. They were did this year. So, again, I'm not saying that explains it. But I think he was in a haze from end of March until... And I think the All-Star game reinvigorated him. And I also think all of this stuff the last couple weeks about how much he loves DC and how he'd love to come back... I think he was in a haze from April until July. And then I think that he fell in love with the city because he's comfortable here. And you're right. Why wouldn't he be comfortable here?
I just don't like... Baseball is a very unique sport in that you have the teams like the Oakland Athletics make the playoffs without someone like Bryce Harper. Chris Davis is having a Bryce Harper year, but at $10 million a year, right? Like, they go out and find the outliers. They get a group of guys that want to win. Everything that you've told me about Bryce this year is a guy that's playing for a contract that he does not give 1 ounce. Like, you don't throttle it down.
Again, it's speculation.
No, but okay. It's the only thing that makes sense. Yeah. You can't, I mean, it's a massive, it's like 28 run difference. Like, we're talking about someone who was average to a slightly above average defender with a cannon of an arm, So he has that. He still has a cannon.
Well, your boy FP has said in years past that he's going to win a Gold Glove in right field one day.
Absolutely.
He could.
But
he's got the gift. He's got the skill set.
How can you possibly explain that this year? Like, it's one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. JD Martinez would have been a significant upgrade defensively. Mm-hmm. And they don't let him touch the field in Boston. And if he does touch the field, he plays first base. You could have put Hanley Ramirez out there. Ah, just kidding. Mm-hmm. I just don't, like, you can't. I get it. Look, it's like Le'Veon Bell, right? You got to do you. You got to take care of your family. It's a business.
Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
Going off the field, flicking off the bench.
I mean, that's fine. If that's where we're at.
Zach Eifert.
Why am I a sports fan then? If you're just playing for yourself and you have 24 guys out there that are just cashing checks, just doing their job. But then you have Max Scherzer. Guys like that that love the game.
Max
that
got his contract, though.
Right, but I mean, that passion was there prior to that.
No, it was. The last year he played with Detroit, he turned down something in the neighborhood of like 8 for $160 or 7 for $160. He goes, I'm going to bet on myself, and he pitched his ass off. And he got the deal that he deserved, and he's the best pitcher, in my mind, on the planet. But it's obviously up for debate. DeGrom had a better season ERA-wise.
And the expectations have been way too high on Bryce. Bryce is above-average player. But, I mean, his season this year, he's not in the top 150 in Major League Baseball.
Well, let's talk about this for a second, because you're not paying Bryce for what he did this year.
So you're paying Bryce on the potential of 1.5, 1 3/4 years.
And the fact that he's going to turn 26 this month.
Age doesn't...
I know, but he's...
8 years
theoretically, he's not even in his prime yet. The same thing will be said about Manny. Now Manny's 26.
Right, but, I mean, you have to ask the obvious... Like, is the decline already happening?
I don't think so. I think he eventually moves to first base. My question is this:
move to first base?
What?
I would. I could not pay him more than $23.5 million a year. What JD is making, I could do 8 years in the 200-210 range and move him to first base. I'd be totally happy with that. There's a guy that could win. I bet you he could win Gold Glove at first base.
Yeah, I think so, and it would save wear and tear.
Although, but then that goes back to, like, is he capable of learning how to play first base?
He's been learning how to do it this year. They say he takes grounders there, and he takes throws there. I've told you, on and off the air, it's not a smart baseball decision for the Nats. If their payroll, let's say their max payroll that they want to have, is in the $180 million range, it's not smart baseball to pay him, really, to pay him anything.
Right. It's a smart business. It's smart business to pay him $40 million a year. You'll make your money back.
You will. That's the point. But you can't afford other players.
Oh, but
if your business is winning, then the smart thing to do is you call Scott Boras, but you say, hey, let's talk about Anthony Rendon. And even though Turner's got 3 years of arbitration eligible left, I buy those last 3 years out and see if I can get another three on top of it and get him until he's 31 or 32. I even think about talking to Tanner Roark because he had a down season. And I say, hey, Tanner, we'll give you what we gave Gio when he came here. You know, it's like $10 million a year. I'd take Tanner at $10
million
a
year. Oh, absolutely.
And for those three contracts that you do, Tanner, Turner, Rendon, is probably the same thing that Bryce is going to get somewhere else in the neighborhood of $30 million a year. That's what I do. Because the outfield that they're going to field next year without Bryce Harper is still one of the best in baseball. Without Bryce Harper.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's correct. A weird situation to be in to say this team could actually be better off without him.
I will go to the grave saying they're better off without him. I think re-signing him sinks the franchise. I think it puts them in... I think within 5 years, it's going to turn into the Marlins... And it's going to be a gut job.
Speaking of the Marlins, real quick tangent, and that was actually going to be the thing I talked about. Look at the guys they gave up and the team they could have had. I know Jose Fernandez died. I know that. And that was crushing to the franchise. I know that. Christian Yelich is going to be your National League MVP. And then you've got Ozuna, Stanton, Boer. Realmuto's still there. That's half their lineup.
D. Gordon. That's Echeverria.
And they still have...
Brian Anderson playing third.
And doesn't Prado play there?
Yeah, you have Martin Prado
too. Yeah.
It's money.
It's 100% money, but...
The Nats, that'll be the Nats.
No, it won't be the Nats.
You know why? And I hate... Oh, this is going to bother me to say this. You know why A-Rod in New York worked? Because of Jeter.
Oh, I was going to say because they could afford to make a mistake like that.
No, but he had to have someone like Jeter to hold him accountable.
Well, Bryce had Jason Worth for 6 years.
Right.
Zimmerman's not going to hold him accountable.
No one is going to hold Bryce Harper forward. I think there's that dichotomy of position players and pitchers. It's just, it's always been separate.
You don't
think
Max breaks that divide because he's
future
Hall of Famer? No, it didn't. It didn't.
And then, okay, so then is that the decline? Is Jason Worth? I'm just saying, like, we're throwing that out there, like. It's like it's almost like an oxy. It just doesn't make sense, right? You're a professional. You're getting paid to do a job, but then you need someone to hold you accountable to what you have to be held accountable to winning and hustling, but don't have to be held accountable to doing your job. I don't know. It's so bizarre. I think it's just it's more of a business to those people.
What about this theory, though? And it's just a theory. He's been groomed since he's 16 years old to get to where he is now, which is his first big contract.
No, he's been groomed to be a generational,
okay,
if not the best baseball player.
But the other
ever.
Thing, too, has been he was drafted. Imagine the contract he'll get when he hits free agency. He's got the agent that goes after the money. You know that's been in the forefront of his parents' mind, or you at least assume that.
But at this point, does money matter? He's got his Under Armour. He has his Under Armour deal, his Gatorade deal.
It must matter. Otherwise, he would have tried to re-sign with the Nats 2 years ago.
That's what I'm saying is I don't think winning does it for him. I don't want someone on my team.
I don't know if that's true. I don't. I think we're talking about a 25-year-old kid who succumbed to the pressure of his situation this year. And he found himself again at the All-Star break and had a phenomenal second half. You've been hanging your hat on how bad his defense was, and you think that is
it's bizarre. It's one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen.
And I think you think that's a calling card for him, that he was throttling it down. It speaks to his character. It speaks to the fact that he's not a winner. I don't know if I'd go that far. I would say this year, I think he probably played more cautious than he should have. Because he didn't want to cost himself $300 million. I don't like
it. And
yet
he did anyway. That's the icing on the cake for me.
Well, that was
he could have gone out, hit 330, had 25 first half home runs, got hurt again randomly, and would have been fine. No one would have blinked an eye at paying him $400 million had he gone 330, 25, and 75.
Think quickly, though, real quick. Because I've been thinking about this week. And this might also play into why he has been so rosy on DC lately. I think it's genuine, but I think that there might be other factors involved. Who legitimately is a suitor for him? How many are there that can pay, let's say, $30 million a year and also need outfield help?
I don't think anybody wants him.
Well, that's the thing, right? So you're talking about the Cubs can't take him.
Right. So Braves, Phillies, Dodgers.
Giants.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
Indians, possibly.
Indians aren't going to pay that contract because they got to re-sign Jose Ramirez.
Right.
Yeah.
St. Louis, possibly.
Yeah, but I think St. Louis would be more in on Machado.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be an idiot to pick Bryce Harper over Manny Machado.
Right, unless you're the Nationals, who you're solidified at those two positions.
Oh man, but you could pay Manny to play third and move Rendon to second. Think about that infield. Think about an infield.
I would pay Manny to play short and put Turner at second.
Right. That's what. But either way.
Right.
You get what an infield that would be. You could have three gold gloves.
Yeah. I think Rendon wins his first gold glove this year. By the way, he only had 6 errors.
I don't think so.
Because of his advanced metrics.
I just don't think I don't I think it just goes back to the whole I don't think people really appreciate him. Oh. I think he is one of the best third basemen in baseball.
Well, they didn't even mention him last night. They were talking about last night. They're like, Arenado's clearly the best third baseman in net. Okay, Probably, but I mean, let's talk about how great of a season Anthony Rendon had, and he doesn't play 81 games at Coors Field.
Right. He's just, he's a professional.
There was a great article about him, actually, that was, it just showed his upbringing and why he's like, look, I'm a baseball player. It doesn't make me better than anybody. And I love that about him.
Yeah, I wish Bryce was that.
It's a breath of fresh air. It really is. So I'm going to, I said this to you, business-wise, I don't want them to re-sign him. I want them to go get Rendon, make him a Nat for life.
Business-wise or baseball-wise?
I'm sorry, baseball-wise, but also business-wise, because your best business is winning baseball games.
No, that's not true at all. They could be a 500 team as long, if Bryce was here. People would go and watch, and they'd sell a shitload of jerseys.
All right. All right, so on the field-wise, for me personally, who watches almost every game, I want them to go get Rendon. Talk to Turner. See, Turner would probably sign it. Because Turner's a good player. He's not a great player yet. You could get him, because he's like 270, but he's got, what, 40 steals? I mean, he's a well above average defensive shortstop. And he's got power.
A 20-40 guy?
Yeah, right.
It's rare.
It's rare. No. I'd go see if I can get him, buy out his last 3 years of arbitration. That's when you're going to be able to get the best deal on him.
Yeah.
And get him till he's about 30, 31. I wouldn't even engage Harper in talks. But, and I can't explain it. Go ahead real quick.
It's 5-0.
Yankees?
Washington Capitals.
Oh, Washington Capitals. What's the Yankees score? Oh, okay. The over-under was 8.5. That's the only reason I'm asking. But there's something personally, I don't know what it is, and I can't quantify it, and I can't even justify it. I want him to resign, and I want him to be a lifelong National. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a status thing for the team. It legitimizes. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is in my head, but my heart wants him to stay here, but I know that it's not the right thing for them to do to win baseball games, and I can't quantify it. I can't.
I hope he goes somewhere with another superstar. The spotlight goes off of him. I fear for him with the real media. Could you imagine him playing the way he played in the beginning of this year in New York?
No.
He wouldn't have bounced back. He might be a head case.
He might be.
I mean, it's just cursed. It's cursed sports, right?
For the DC.
DC.
Yeah.
I mean, not anymore because we're world
champions. Ovi's. Oh, yeah. Ovi has never been cursed.
No.
He just didn't. It wasn't his fault. He played well in the postseason. The Caps just never got past the second round. But he was never cursed. He's the second best player in all of hockey.
Best goal scorer.
Best goal scorer. Crosby. Crosby's probably the best overall player.
I mean, he's probably down outside the top 10 best hockey players right now.
Who?
Ovi.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, easily.
But I mean, I'm saying over the last decade, he's been
second
best player in all of hockey. Like, you would take either one.
Right, yeah. I mean, right. You're not going to go wrong.
Right. Any other? That was actually a very well-reasoned argument by you.
It was like a light bulb.
You have severe disdain for him.
I hate him.
I know.
I hate the. I think he is wasting otherworldly talent. I think he's if Mike Trout is Mr. Hyde, Bryce's Jekyll. Like, he's the bad version. He shouldn't be this bad. He should be a perennial gold glove. Like, it should just be automatic.
Do you think...
There shouldn't be this roller coaster of emotions that we're on with him.
We just keep going on, but I do have one...
It's just mind-blowing.
No, I do have one final question. If you had to put a percentage on it, what's the percentage chance that he gets the big contract... Wherever he goes, and I'm not saying the Nats, wherever he goes, he gets the big contract, and he goes, and then he can just be himself. With any team.
Right, but I'm saying I'll break it up.
Okay.
With the Nationals?
And wait a minute, real quick. And his self is 290 to 310, 35 to 45 homers a year, perennial MVP candidate, silver slugger,
yeah,
gold glover. Okay.
Which is what I think he should be.
He's capable of that, right.
Okay. Absolutely.
What's the percentage that he does at? Let's start with the field.
The field, 80%.
With the Nats, 0.
5-10 at best. And they'll never win a World Series. I think if he leaves, he wins a World Series.
Because you think another ownership group is going to hold him accountable.
Yeah. You cannot have a guy in your locker room. You can't treat people differently. And he should know. Like, I just think he's been... I think it's him. I think he's been coddled. I think...
Well, they've coddled... They
right.
They coddled Strasburg and they coddled Harper.
You can't do that, though. Like... No.
I don't, and I'm not, when I say about Strasburg, because I know that people are going to jump all over me, I'm not saying they coddled him by not pitching him in the playoffs in 2012.
That's a whole nother.
I'm saying that they've made it as comfortable as possible for Strasburg. The difference is Strasburg wants to win. I'm not saying Harper doesn't, but Strasburg doesn't need any. Strasburg told Boris, get me the contract early. I want to be here. Let's go. And with Harper, it's always been. You know, it's been about marketing. It's been about, and it has been leading up to this moment, him hitting free agency healthy, and he's done that. The funny thing is, baseball is no longer giving out these gigantic contracts, or at least they didn't for one off season, and I think it could be moving to that. Because you've got these analytical guys that are running teams. They're going to go, why am I going to, we need a 25-man roster, and we have a 40-man total roster. Why am I going to give 30 to 40% of my payroll to one guy?
Well, no.
Because it hasn't worked for the Angels with Trout.
Here's the problem is, if you have player A and player B and take away the names, that's how analytics works, right?
Well, yeah.
I have player A. I'm trying to replace this.
Right. No, you're
and
right.
And I'm going to go out and here's $45 million a year. Here's seven.
Yeah,
I'm going to take the $7 million team guy that does it for the love of the game, not this asshole who's... just pillaging the Nationals.
We're going to leave it at that because we could keep going. That was fun, though. I enjoyed that. You feel better? You've got a smile on your face?
I do.
It's like and therapy. The Caps are up 5-0.
Yeah.
So that's good. I think if every week we talked about Bryce, this would be the most explosive podcast going.
We should just call it Bryce Harper's podcast. Could you imagine if he would be on it? It would be dead silent. We'd be like, so...
We move to whatever city he goes to play for.
There would be nothing to talk about. Hey, Bryce.
Hey, big fan. I am.
Yeah.
Josh, not so much. Josh really hates you.
Hi.
You would wilt. You would wilt.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. It would be awesome.
Would you like?
I'm behind a mic. What's he going to do?
No, I'm saying if he was sitting right there.
Ah, whatever. If he hits me, I'm going to get $300 or $400 million.
Not that much. You might get like 10.
Like 250, whatever.
All right. Let's close this thing out. Don't forget to check out dmvsportsnetwork.com. That is dmvsportsnetwork.com. You also can follow them on Twitter at @DMV_SN. That is @DMV_SN. We have our own tab there. You can listen. They're going to try to set it up so you can listen to our podcast on the website. You can subscribe to our podcast on the website. But they also put some cool updates up there, so please check them out. And also, if you're interested in joining the team, DM them on Twitter at @DMV_SN. Thank you guys for listening. A final reminder that we will be recording next Tuesday because the Redskins play Monday night against the Saints. Josh has a hunting trip this weekend, so that should be fun. I got more crickets to kill, so...
I'm telling you, you're going to kill our podcast.
This is the last time, I promise, I'm going to talk about
it. It's so bad.
It is.
Did you go to, like, FP's broadcast school?
The
Fighting Hydrant?
There goes the no-hitter.
What a great name for a Nats podcast.
Oh, and also, at least we're not the Mets.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
At least for now, we're not the Mets.
You mean Bryce Harper's future destination?
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I'd wear Mets. Mr. Met.
I don't want him to go to Philly or to Atlanta. All right, that's all we got for today. Josh, have a great week, and we'll see you guys on Tuesday. Any final words?
Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you next week.